We pray. Heavenly Father, author of each new day, in your wisdom and love, you know what we need for each day, each moment of our lives. Forgive us when we argue with you, and guide us ever onward, dear Lord, through the light of your word, that we might embrace your truth and rejoice in your grace, now and forevermore. Amen. The parties this last week for graduation and Memorial Day were wonderful. It's good to get together with family and friends. It does our heart good. That reminds me, a story is told of two twin sisters, Agnes and Beatrice, B for short. Agnes and B were both wives of farmers in neighboring towns in central Wisconsin. B had four children, and Agnes had three. They were all their children were married and had kids of their own and lived just a few miles from their parents' farm. Agnes' kids would stop by every week to just pop in on her and see how she was doing. On holidays and birthdays, everyone would gather at the farm for a rip-roaring party. Agnes made sure there was apple pie and monster cookies, along with a mountain of potatoes and either turkey, ham, or pork roast with all the trimmings. They all feasted and laughed and had a great time. After supper, the adults would recline into the living room to watch a football or a baseball game while the kids played on the trampoline. Bee's house, however, was quiet. Her children and grandchildren were too busy to stop by and pop in on her for visits. The holidays, well, those were golden opportunities for them to be out of town on an adventure. On the 4th of July, Agnes was busy cutting pies and telling childhood stories, while Bee was busy working in her garden. Just before sunset, both Agnes and Bee snuck away, each to their own bedroom, in order to cry. Agnes' tears were of overwhelming joy. Oh, how she loved her children. And she lived in order to build them up in love and in family and bonding together. Bee's tears were of heartbreak. Her children always had someplace better to go. They didn't need Bee, nor did they want anything from Bee. The twin sisters were crying at the same time. But oh, what a difference there was between their tears. Can we sit on their bed next to them and feel both Agnes' joy and celebration and also Bee's tears of pain? Every weekend, God cries both kinds of tears. God cries tears of joy to see his children gather around, feasting on his banquet of loving forgiveness, growing in their trust of Jesus and his word, and bonding their hearts together in one in his family. God's broken heart cries over the children who always have some better place to go than to be with their Savior and forfeit the blessings God had in store for them. Are our eyes filled with tears? Oh, that excitement and joy would flood our hearts as we hear, "Rejoice, let us go to the house of the Lord." God created the world in 6 24-hour days. Then he rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest because he was exhausted from the heavy work of creating galaxies and genomes. No, he created a day of rest for us. Out of the 168 hours that he had designed for each and every week, he planned for us to set aside hours in order to rest our bodies and refresh our souls. He calls us to gather together, but not around the golf course or the fishing hole or the Sealy Posturepedic. He calls us to gather around the Creator, Savior God. Let all Christians everywhere shout out the call, "Come, worship our God." Throughout history, there have been days when it was dangerous for Christians to worship together in large groups. The catacombs under Rome served as secret worship places for the New Testament Christians in order to avoid being thrown to the lions. In the Middle Ages, during the days of the Dark Plague, it was truly deadly for Christians to gather in groups. British Christians during the Second World War saw how their churches became targets for Hitler's bombs. And today? Well, today Christians around the world have to worship secretly in their homes because there are Muslim and Chinese police who are eager to arrest them as enemies of the government. How good it is when the days of persecution and epidemic are over and Christians can once again gather safely and peacefully. In the book of Hebrews, God writes, "Let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as we see the day approaching." God has always intended for his children to meet together in person for worship whenever possible. In his Old Testament, it was in the tabernacle, the temple, and the synagogues. And now in the New Testament, it is in the churches. We come and worship our God. Not because our God needs our worship. God doesn't need anything from us. It is for us that God has created a day of worship. We need the relationship with him, a relationship where we bow before him as our almighty God in worship and praise. We are the ones who need to gather together in order to hear his word, to receive forgiveness for our sins, and to be blessed by our Savior. We come together because God commands it. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. This is what God wants for our lives. This brings to an end all the debate and discussion as to whether we are going to make time for worship or not. We do not go to the Buddhist shrine in order to pray and worship. Who is Buddha to us? We show our love for our one true God through our obedience to him. God gives us and his people a reason for worship. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The Lord brought them out of the slavery in Egypt into the rest of the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, prosperity and luxury. Each Sabbath day, they were to remember where they came from and what the Lord had done for them. Jesus has brought all of his believers of all time out of the slavery to sin into the promised land of his grace and forgiveness. We need one day of sacred worship in order to rest our body and soul in our Savior's arms. This last year has given us a slower pace to life. As we return to normal, will that include a return to the breakneck speed of life? Will we soon be exhausted as the work piles ever higher on our desk, as we enroll in every sport available, as we travel the world for lavish vacations and host party after party after party? Pity the man who runs himself ragged and refuses a day of rest in his Savior's arms. Maybe we are like Agnes. She would never miss the opportunity to thank God for the wonderful life he had given her. She was eternally grateful that all her children were also children of God. Every Sunday, she sat with her entire family in church, thanking God for having adopted them in their baptisms and for making a home for them in heaven. Maybe we are like B. She would never miss going to church because only in her Savior's arms could she find rest for her broken heart. Her family had rejected her, but she knew that Jesus would never leave her or forsake her. Every day, B prayed for her kids because they had also abandoned their Savior as well. The rest Mildred was seeking may be similar to the rest we need. Old Mildred knew her ability to think clearly was fading. She could not drive her car any longer, and she was afraid that soon she'd have to move into an assisted care center. She yearned to go to church to refresh her memory that her good shepherd will be with her and protect her wherever she goes. Peace filled her heart when she thought of being home in heaven in Jesus' arms. Bruce was in a lot of trouble. His wife caught him in an affair. His marriage was exploding right before his eyes. A dagger of guilt pierced his heart. He came to church in crushing shame. He desperately needed for God to forgive him of his sin. He prayed that with great tears that God would heal what he had destroyed. Trish was in a sad place. Her father had always called her a waste of space, that she would never amount to anything. She was now 60 years old, her parents dead, without anyone in her life. She came to church for the same reason all of us come to church. She desperately needed to hear how much God loved her. No one else in the world cared whether she lived or died, but Jesus gave his life for her, called her by name, gave her his unconditional love. She was precious to him, and she wanted to learn more and more about her Savior who so loved her. Why do we come to church? For what sin, burden, trouble, or heartache do we need rest? What blessing fills our heart and life with such praise? Whether we have the best of lives or the worst of lives, whether we are torn or whole, whether we are lonely or loved, we all need to hear God's word of love and forgiveness, of healing and truth. We are all sinners in need of our Savior. We need to be carried in His arms for another day of rest, protected by His power and guided by His light. Pity the poor, bankrupt soul who believes he doesn't need Jesus, who has no desire to worship the Savior nor feed on His holy word. Let us count our blessings for the saving grace He has showered upon us in our Lord Jesus. In Him, we have everything. Without Him, we have nothing. And so we share King David's heart as he said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, God of all grace, you have called us to be your very own. And in that call, may we rejoice. You are our very life, our salvation. To you be our thanks and praise now and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior. Amen.